Look, I think there will be a short-term consequences are that there will be terrorist attacks in revenge, in vengeance, all around the world possibly. There could be a wave of terrorism in the next few months, which will be, you know, obviously very disturbing. In the region, I think there's going to be possibly a shift in Al-Qaeda from the central base in Pakistan, Afghanistan, perhaps to some other location like Yemen or Somalia, who the Al-Qaeda there will become more important than the Al-Qaeda in Pakistan, Afghanistan. Thirdly, I think there will be a leadership crisis. There will be a leadership fight. Between Zawahiri and others, and maybe the leadership shifts away from that region, and maybe it is taken up by people in Yemen or Somalia or somewhere else. But what I see the biggest danger for Pakistan is that the biggest group of sympathizers and militants who have been trained by Al-Qaeda, who are loyal to Al-Qaeda, who have worked with Al-Qaeda, who have trained Europeans for Al-Qaeda, are in Pakistan. And are Pakistanis. And what their reaction is going to be to this death is going to be critical for the stability of Pakistan in the next few months. And I don't think it helps having a statement of denial by the government and by the authorities, a statement which blames everyone except ourselves. For having Osama on our soil for the last 6 years. And I think to deal with the crisis that will be upcoming from the extremists, I think we need to take our people into confidence. We need to build up a consensus in the country as to why this happened, how this happened, who was to blame. We need people's confidence. And the way the political statements have been going in recently is not something that is building people's confidence.
And how about the indirect consequences, particularly as to things going on in the region, Afghanistan, was the one point we talked about and focused a lot in this last hour, indirect consequences?
Well, I think, for example, if the Afghan Taliban distance themselves from Al-Qaeda, that will be a huge blow. And if Obama is to announce talks with the Taliban or in a few months, I mean, that will, and the Taliban themselves will announce talks with the Americans, I mean, that will be a huge blow to Al-Qaeda. And they may try and sabotage that, of course. They may try assassinating, leading figures who are involved in the talks. And there will be a lot of attempts at sabotage. By Pakistani extremists, Arab extremists, Afghan extremists, it's not going to be an easy path. Even before Bonn, after Bonn, we can expect a lot of violence.
Can I ask on Afghanistan, what is still missing so that the process of transition can really start? What are the most crucial things that are missing before the transition can start?
Look, I think for Afghanistan, the most crucial thing is the lack of an internal consensus between all the ethnic groups and between the warlords and civil society within the government. Karzai has not really yet mobilized any kind of movement to try and bring the majority of the population along. At the moment, many non-Pashtuns see this as a Pashtun-Pashtun deal. This is a Pashtun president striking a deal with a Pashtun insurgency, which has nothing to do with the rest of the country. And this will only strengthen Pashtun hegemony in Afghanistan. That's how they see it, the Tajiks and the Uzbeks and the Turkmens and the Hazaras and all the rest of it. So this is still not seen by the non-Pashtuns as a national agenda and a national cause that has to be pursued. And only Karzai can do this. The Americans can push him and the Germans can push him, but only Karzai can do this and the government can do this. And that is what I think is absolutely critical to, the next few months.
Mr. Rashid, there has been quite some news in this event, referring to the Bonn conference. You, if I understood right, and also Mr. Steiner, want to let the Taliban attend. With what hope, what you think could be achieved by that?
Well, I think it's absolutely, I mean, you know, the Taliban were not present at the last Bonn conference, and that was perhaps one of the very big mistakes which have been admitted by most people who were there, including Mr. Brahimi, who ran the conference. I think the Taliban to be present at Bonn is absolutely critical as part of the peace process. That I don't think peace will come at Bonn, but I think the a Taliban presence at Bonn will send a signal to the Afghans, to the neighboring countries, to the international community, that the Taliban are ready for dialogue and for talks, and that they have made an appearance in an international conference, and that the international community treats them as a player, as a legitimate player to bring peace in Afghanistan.
On the other hand, it's a little bit contradictory, on the one hand, to ask for an all-inclusive conference, and on the other hand, kill Taliban on a daily basis.
Well, I agree. I mean, you know, I think, first of all, I think, you know, that fighting and talking is going to be part of the process for quite some time yet. Maybe, I don't know, for a long time to come yet. There will be fighting and there will be talking at the same time. And we all know that when two enemies are talking to each other, the fighting actually escalates and becomes more bloody and more vicious because each side is trying to gain political advantage. In those negotiations. So I don't see anything unusual in that. I just hope that the political process of dialogue can reduce the violence in Afghanistan. So we will not have one day suddenly a ceasefire and suddenly an end to the war, but we will have a reduction, an agreed reduction by both sides to certain parts of the violence, so the violence becomes less.
To Pakistan for 1 second, did I get you right, just to be clear on this, that you make the suggestion that Pakistan, or at least parts of Pakistan, did know about Osama bin Laden, and that the point is now for them to come around, just admitting it was so?
Well, you know, but I did not say who. I have no idea who it was, because it could be elements of the state. It could be militant groups. Don't forget, many of these militant groups had safe houses for al-Qaeda after 9/11, and they spent Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Ramzi al-Shab. I mean, they all stayed in houses which were looked after, and they were looked after by Pakistani sympathizers and militant groups, not by the state or the ISI or the military. Now, we don't know with Osama what happened, but clearly there was a support network, and that support network has to be unearthed and investigated.
Just like to stay with Pakistan for a second. How serious would you say is Pakistan in fighting these Islamist groups, militant groups on their own ground?
Well, I think, you know, Pakistan, as you know, has been very selective in the last few years. They have fought the Pakistani Taliban. They have fought al-Qaeda, but they have left alone the Afghan Taliban. And they've left alone Pakistani groups who've been fighting in India. So, you know, this selectivity is something that I think has to go, because it's really not acceptable now to the international community. And after Osama's death and all that, I think this issue has now become the number one issue for Pakistan. It cannot continue pursuing these policies of leaving one lot but killing another lot. You know?
How dangerous is it for Pakistani society itself, of letting these Islamists...
Well, I think very dangerous. I think for the military and the security services to try and differentiate between good extremists and bad extremists has proved disastrous for Pakistan. I mean, we've got now, you know, suicide bombings every day in Pakistan, partly as a result of this policy.
Yeah, Mr. Rashid, when we talk about Taliban, who can we mean Taliban? Because you know that international community, it seems that Mullah Omar could not be the real side of international community and the real side for Karzai government. And on the other hand, you know that it is impossible, it was impossible for Afghanistan government to reach to Taliban leadership. Yeah. It means that the real side could not be Mullah Omar himself. Did you see any signs of other helping issues that bring us optimistic about negotiation?
Look, I think it's a mistake for the Americans and others to rule out Mullah Omar from the beginning. This should not be a precondition for negotiations. Mullah Omar will probably not take part in negotiations. He never has. But Mullah Omar's blessing or acquiescence for the ultimate agreement will be needed before the Taliban agree to it. So Mullah Omar is still very much a player. And he may not appear, he may not be part of the team, but his ultimately his blessing will be required. And the West should take that seriously. So you cannot condemn Mullah Omar from the beginning, because at the end of the process you will need Mullah Omar.
Can he act independently, I mean?
No, I think Mullah Omar has always been a man of consensus. He will go with the Shura, the Taliban Shura, the council. He will not act independently. If he sees that the whole Shura wants to have negotiations, he'll go along with that, you know. So I think at the end of the day, we will see the main Taliban, which is the Mullah Omar Taliban, the old Taliban, leading the negotiations, and these other groups, Haqqani and Gulbuddin and others, probably sending their representatives to join those negotiations.
But the question is about the Pakistan intelligence impact on Taliban, especially Mullah Omar.
Well, I agree. It's, you know, this is something that you know, the Americans and the international community will have to work out. That, for example, if there's a lot of talk of opening an office, if the Taliban are allowed to open an office somewhere in the Gulf, then, you know, obviously they have to be allowed to travel, and Pakistan has to allow them to come and go, and all the rest of it. So, you know, these are all agreements that will have to be worked out yet. I think it's a bit early yet to presume anything. I don't think Pakistan will restrict. Pakistan also wants a settlement in Afghanistan. Pakistan wants a stable Afghanistan, and they want the Taliban to be part of the power structure. So it is in Pakistan's interest to facilitate these talks.